All right, what if I told you that there is a far deeper revelation in the very simplistic message of the birth of Jesus? Well, today, I'm going to show you five major prophetic parallels. I'm going to show you five events that were transpiring during the first appearance of the Messiah. And I'm going to show you how they're going to parallel with the second appearance of the Messiah. So stick around. We've got a great program for you today. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what is going on, guys? It is Friday, December the 27th. We hope everyone had a wonderful time with their families, those that they love for Christmas. Man, I know many of you guys, I'm aware that some of you may be still traveling on the road. So we continue to pray for your safety and your protection as you travel back to your home. Back to your neighborhoods and wherever that you're returning home from. We had a great time here, really kind of low key, didn't travel anywhere. And I'm glad about that. We travel every Thanksgiving and it is hectic. And I couldn't imagine, and there was only a few times we've ever traveled during Christmas. Typically we kind of stay low key and stay home and do things with our own family. So nevertheless, we want to welcome you to today's program. Again, I am Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and you are listening to End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Before we get started on this today, I would love for you guys to help us out, get eyes on this program and on our ministry. And you could do that on Rumble and YouTube simply by hitting that like button. When you hit that like button, it pushes it out on the algorithms. Take it a step further if you wish to follow us here on social media, on whatever platform you're watching from. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then I always say to the very best method that you could do, this will assure that you miss none of our programs, none of our podcasts, our breaking news, our prophecy updates, our headlines, any of that, is simply go to your Play Store, whether it's Apple, Android, whatever that looks like for you, download our free app. Again, it's absolutely free for you. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away right there at your fingertips. Everything's going to be right there, and you won't miss anything. So I realize that Christmas is come and gone, but something interesting happened. We typically do this every Christmas. We'll sit down with our kids personally, and we will read to them the story of the birth of Jesus. So this year, as typically as we do, we got into the book of Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and we begin to read about the birth of Jesus. And we try to keep it simplistic because we do have a 16-year-old, which he loves the deep stuff like myself, but we have a 9-year-old that we have to keep it elementary. So we typically keep the message elementary. So while we were taking turns going through and reading these passages and explaining what they mean, I was getting a deeper download. And of course, my wife laughed at me because she just knows how I am. And I'm sitting here taking notes. And I said, okay, I've got a podcast for this week from this. So today I want to share with you some things I wrote down and took notes on. And I'm going to show you five prophetic parallels of things that were transpiring during the first appearance of Jesus. And then I'm going to show you how these same five things are going to reemerge in the last days prior to the second appearance of Jesus Christ. So y'all ready? So you're going to need your Bible. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, by the way, we love and welcome you guys as well. And we appreciate you guys giving us a good review that helps us in our program out there in the podcast land for those that are listening to our programs. So go ahead and go to the book of, we're going to start out at Matthew chapter 2, actually. I'm not going to read the entire story of the birth of Jesus. Most of you got all that reading in and listening to that sermon probably during your either your time with your family or your own personal church, whether it be, what was it, last week before Christmas on Sunday morning or even on Wednesday night, a Wednesday midweek service, whatever the case may be. So what I'm going to do, we're going to go with number one. We're going to come right out. We're going to come out of the gates blazing here. All right. So number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. During the first appearance of Christ, there were signs in the heavens and there was a remnant in the earth that had understanding of the times and seasons. Let me say that one more time. I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot to write down real quick. During the first appearance of Christ, there were signs in the heavens and in the earth, there was a remnant that had understanding of the times and seasons in which we're in. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to show you this in scripture and we'll just go from there. All right, here we go. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now look what they say here. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now this is interesting because whoever these men were that were coming from the east, we know that they are called wise men. They, by their own admission here, they obviously had understanding of the signs in the heavens. They understood the constellations. Now, these were not astrologers, but they understood the signs in the heavens. They understood the constellations, the stars. They understood these things. And they had discernment of the times and seasons in which they were in their days. Okay, this is why they made this admission to say that we have seen his star. So they knew. They could make a distinction between all of the other stars out there versus one particular star that stood out. And they saw this and said, this is a sign from heaven. And not only did they know it was a sign from heaven, but they knew, they had understanding that when they saw the appearance of this star, that it was a sign that, come on, that the prophecies have been fulfilled and the Messiah has been born. This is powerful, guys. Now look, this was so powerful that when Herod, and we'll talk about this guy in just a minute, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. So he had heard that that this was not just an ordinary child being born here, but these men who were considered wise, who had been following this particular star, saw this, and they began to go to where Jesus was. So don't miss it. At the appearance of the first appearance of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, there was a sign in the heavens, and there was a particular group that could have that had discernment and understanding of the of these signs in the heavens. And they responded accordingly. They knew how to respond. Now, why is that significant? Because I'm going to show you, look what happened in the time later on. We're going to show you this. This is in Matthew chapter 16. Now, this is when Jesus enters into ministry. Now, he's 33 years of age. He's entered into ministry. And I want to show you what happens here. So this is Matthew chapter 16. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Interesting, a sign from heaven. Okay, he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. You hypocrites, look at what he says here. This is important, guys. You know how to discern the face of the sky. In other words, you can look at the sky. Come on, they didn't have Doppler radar back then. They didn't have the National Weather Service. They didn't have the Weather Channel. They didn't have AccuWeather. They didn't have an app. They They would look into the heavens. They look into the skies, and they could discern the face of the sky, whether the day would be threatening with weather or it would be a good, calm day that they can go fishing or whatever the case may be. So look what he says here. You know how to discern the face of the sky to determine what? The weather. But you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, notice he equated discerning the signs of the times with things in the skies or the heavens. Now, you know, your Bible tells us that there was a group of individuals called the Sons of Issachar. These men had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. So there was in the Old Testament, there was a group of individuals called the Sons of Issachar. There was about 200 of them. And these men had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Listen to me. Here's your number one parallel. I believe with all of my heart that there is a remnant today that is alive and well. Now, I know a lot of ministries despise these individuals. A lot of preachers don't like them. A lot of pastors won't give them any platform, won't give them a voice, and a lot of them are shunned, but there is a remnant out there, which I like to call the modern day Sons of Issachar. We'll throw you in there as well, daughters, sons and daughters of Issachar. Come on, men and women, watch this, who have understanding of the times and seasons in order to know what they ought to do in particular seasons. Oh, come on, somebody, help me preach here. Do I have any sons and daughters of Issachar in the chat? Do I have any sons and daughters, the modern sons and daughters that are watching, that are listening to this podcast today? You are watchmen. You see things happening. This is why, listen, don't get discouraged when there are major prophetic signs in the heavens, such as particular solar eclipses that fall on certain feast days, or they parallel with certain prophetic implications, or there's certain numbers attached to them, or certain symbolisms attached to them, or they form X's over particular locations, or they fall on certain exclusive important dates. And you see these things, you acknowledge these things, you recognize these things, you sound the alarm on these things on your TikTok page or your Instagram or your Facebook or your YouTube, and you're met with vicious kickback. You are bombarded with all kinds of hate comments, ridicule. They laugh at you. They scorn you. They mock you. Guys, we can get upset about that. I have in the past. But then I realized the majority, even in the body of Christ, have no discernment or understanding of these things. And quite frankly, a lot of them have been discouraged and suppressed from pulpits. Churches they attend, they don't accept this. They don't like any prophetic ministry. Now, I'm not talking about, there's a difference between foretelling. I'm talking about understanding of the times and season. We're talking about eschatology, end times. Many, many pastors, they don't accept this. They don't like it in their church. Many pastors discourage their congregation from even opening the book of Revelation and reading it. Well, it's full of symbolisms. It's too confusing. It's too complicated. It promotes hyperbole. It promotes fear. And we don't want to get into that. We don't want to generate that in the body of Christ because it's not healthy and it doesn't unify and all this other nonsense. When the Bible tells us there's a blessing to those who read it and understand those things. So again, if that's you, if you're listening, I'm trying to help you today. If you know you're one of these sons and daughters of Issachar, and you probably are, because, or you wouldn't even be listening to our ministry. Because, you know, we kind of flock together. You know, the watchmen, they come together. The watchmen like to come together. Why? Because there's strength in unity. Just like the prophets, they'll come together. The intercessors, they seek out other intercessors because they can understand one another. So again, don't get discouraged when people laugh at you and scorn you when you try to tell them, hey, this is not normal. There's something to this. Luke 21:25, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Jesus himself said one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, well, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And friends, again, we have to have sons and daughters of Issachar in the last days to be able to discern these signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Why? So again, in order to know what we should do, what should America do? That's why as a watchman, and all of us understood the significance of solar eclipses and all the significance that came about with this last solar eclipse. We understood when we saw these things, we understood that our nation needs to repent and come back to God. Why? Because there has a long track record of these type of signs in the heavens that appeared during certain seasons of a pending judgment. One of them is in the time of Nineveh. We've talked about that, where Jonah appears during a solar eclipse to call the nation, or excuse me, the city of Nineveh back to repentance. And thank God they did. They repented. There was a reprieve. Now, later on, after a period of a reprieve, they ended up reverting back to the very sins that brought upon the judgment and the destruction, but there was a reprieve, okay? All right, so I got to get through this. So number one, during the first appearance of Christ, and there were signs in the heavens and a remnant in the earth that understood the times and seasons, and this again and coming as we near the approach and the return of Jesus Christ from heaven, as we near the rapture of the church, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, signs in the heavens again, leading up to the second appearance of Christ. And there is and was and will be, watch this, sons and daughters of Issachar. There will be children of God, men and women of God, who have understanding of the times and seasons. Why? So that they may direct the people to do according to the will of God. Okay, number two. Oh, this is a good one. Anytime a deliverer was raised up, great persecution rose against children of that generation. Let me say that again. Anytime a deliverer was raised up, great persecution rose against the children of that generation. Watch this. Let's go to I'm just going to read this, guys. I am in, if you want to know where I'm at, I'm in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. Well, I'll just go ahead and pull it up because I know some people be like, well, we wanted to follow along with you, so we'll do it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. All right, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, okay, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. All right, so, and then this fulfilled the prophecy here, and we don't need to read all that. We'll skip down here. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, now remember, these are the guys who had understanding of the times and seasons, right? He determined from them what time the star appeared, all right? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Guys, Herod was not interested in worshiping Jesus. No. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when they had come in the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Okay, so we know all this. Now watch this. And then we'll get to this part later. We're going to skip down here. All right. And right here, verse 16. Again, don't worry, guys. We'll come back to this because I'm going to cover that in another point here. When Herod saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its districts from 2 years of age and under. Okay? Now, why is this significant? This is significant, guys, because, again, notice here you have the appearance of the Messiah. You have the appearance of Christ, and there was a wicked leader in position of authority who made the decree to eliminate children 2 years of age and under, all the male children 2 years of age and under. Now, this is significant because if you know your Bible, you'll know that roughly around 1,246 years prior to this event, we saw the same thing occur under the rule of Pharaoh, in which Moses was being raised up as a deliverer. He's a type and shadow of Christ, by the way, because he's a deliverer to the children of Israel. He was being raised up to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. And again, Pharaoh gave the decree because his position of authority was threatened. So he gave the decree, what? To destroy all the male children. Again, same decree, same spirit, same motive, same agenda. Now, why am I telling you this? Because we know that prior to the second coming of Christ, right before the Lord appears, one of the indicators that we'll know that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord is because we're going to see this very same parallel. And here's what's terrifying, or I shouldn't say terrifying. But, I mean, it's terrifying if you don't know Christ. Okay, and it's terrifying for the children that are impacted by this. But if you know what to look for and you're in Christ, then this is exciting because we know that the Lord is about to appear. But guys, if you're paying attention, you will know that this very thing is happening right now again. Look around you. Social media is destroying, wiping out an entire generation. You're talking about brain rot on steroids. TikTok, shorts, reels, all of this nonsense on social media is completely destroying a whole generation. We've got the whole woke agenda completely wiping out an entire generation. You've got the LGBT agenda completely wiping out an entire generation. And children don't even know their own identity. They don't know their own sexuality. They don't know their gender. They're confused. Madness has swept the nation. Drugs, synthetic drugs, all kinds of drugs that I can't even mention here. It has infiltrated an entire generation. Some of these stories that have surfaced regarding children, two of them come to mind right off the top of my head. And we've posted all these on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com on our main website. We've shared many of these stories. One of these was a father who, I got to be careful how I say this. He removed the head of his one-year-old son. Absolutely demonic. This was a story that we shared on Intime Headlines. Another story was this was in my district. This was right here in Georgia, locally, in my county. Two homosexual men are now facing over 100 years in prison because they decide to perform acts on their sons that they adopted. These are the same acts that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah in which God destroyed the cities. Because I can't say this on out here on these platforms because we'll get taken down. But not only did they perform these acts on their sons, but they filmed it And then we're selling the videos. Absolutely unbelievable and disgusting. But again, what are we talking about? I'm telling you guys that Satan knows his time is short. He is not omnipresent and omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. But he can, watch this, he can see events transpiring, and it gives him the understanding that there is a major prophetic shift that's about to take place, a major prophetic climax. Now, we talked about this last night on Larry Ragland's program. There is six major things that must take place prior to the end of the age. Now, we did a whole podcast on this. So listen, Satan understands this. Guys, I'm telling you, Satan knows the Bible more than most Christians know the Bible. He can quote it back to you. Okay? So he knows, he doesn't know every detail, but he knows enough he can't stop Bible prophecy, but he can hinder things. He can try to delay it and hinder it. And I'm telling you, Satan understood that Moses was about to come to power and deliver the children of Israel out of 400 years of captivity and out of bondage. He understood this. And this is why Satan inspired Pharaoh to try to wipe out and destroy an entire generation. Watch this, to try to prevent Moses from being raised up. Now, I don't believe Satan knew it was Moses, but I do believe Satan knew that there would be a male child. Now, we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis, when the Lord spoke to Satan. And remember, he cursed the serpent in which Satan was speaking through and said, "On your belly you shall go all the days of your life and eat dust." And he says that the seed of the woman shall trample you under her feet. So Satan knew, guys, all the way from that point that there would come a seed that would be born that would lead to the ultimate defeat of Satan and his empire. So this is why, again, he tried to stop it with Pharaoh. And then 1,246 years later, you come to Herod. In the time of Jesus, and now all the news has gone out. Satan knew the Messiah was born. All of Israel was quickly finding out that there is something about this child that's been born, and there are supernatural signs from heaven. It was a supernatural conception, a supernatural birth. All these things are happening. This Satan knew that this was the Messiah. So what did he do? He inspired Herod. He put it in Herod's heart to try to wipe out all these children. Why? Because he tried to stop the Messiah. Now, you don't think, guys, let's fast forward. Thousands of years later, 6,000 years, or not 6,000 years, excuse me. 4,000 something years later, whatever the case may be. Now you come to our day. And there is a prophecy over the young people. In Joel chapter 2, sons and daughters will be influential in the last days. God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to have dreams. They're going to have visions. They're going to be influential. Satan knows this. So when you don't think when the word gets out that God is moving in campuses across America, thousands of young people are getting saved. They're getting baptized. They're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Satan sees this. Satan knows that his time is short. So what's he doing? He's trying to bring them into captivity with, again, the social media, the woke agenda, the LGBTQ agenda, the drugs, the influences, all these things trying to keep them in captivity. So this is only going to increase more as we get closer to the return of the Lord. Now, what does that mean for us as parents and grandparents and guardians. It means we've got to pray earnestly more. We got to step up our prayer. We got to cover them in prayer, cover them in the blood of Jesus, cover them in intercession. Why? Because the adversary, their devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. Are you hearing me today? All right, so number three. All right, now let's go here. I'm going to just read these guys because we're going to be jumping around and some of you guys are going to be like, what? So let me just read this to you. When the birth of Jesus took place, this is all Matthew 1, Matthew 2. Joseph was mindful to put Mary away. Why? Because she was pregnant and it wasn't from him. But he didn't believe the story. Oh, right. The Holy Spirit impregnated you. Sure. But watch this. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 20, while he thought about these things, I think this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Somebody say a dream. And the angel tells him, Joseph, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. You will call his name Jesus. You will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. All right, then you go over to Matthew chapter 2. The Bible says that being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. Why? Because Herod was out to kill the baby. Somebody say dream. They were given a dream. They were given a warning dream. All right, then you go to verse 13. And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. I said a dream. All right, then you go to verse 19. And when Herod was dead, eventually Herod ended up dying. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared again in a dream to Joseph at Egypt and gives him instructions and gives him further instructions. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4. In Matthew 1 and 2, you have four occurrences of an angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph and Mary in dreams to instruct and warn them. Now, why is that significant? Significant because, again, let me show you this. Oh, come on, somebody. You better get excited with me. If you've got sons and daughters, this is exciting. But it's not just sons and daughters. It's for us old folks, too. Watch this. Joel 2:28. All right, so watch this. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. Now, this is the prophet Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. We just talked about that a while ago. Your old men shall dream dreams. Come on, guys. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now watch this. I want to focus right here. Dreams and visions. Listen to me. I am telling you, some of y'all ain't going to receive this, but I'm telling you, as we get closer to the appearance of the Messiah, the second appearance of Christ before he returns, there is going to be a massive increase and a massive uptick in men and women of God in the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is going to give them dreams and visions to warn them and show them of events that are going to take place prior, leading up, come on, to the return of the Lord. Now look at this, John 16, verse 12 through 14. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Look at this. He will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Again, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as believers today. And one of the things he's going to do is reveal to us things to come. Now, guys, we get a lot of kickback anytime we talk about dreams and visions. People, and I get it. There is the side of this that is fruity and weird and out there, because there is a lot of people that claim they have dreams from God and visions of God, and it doesn't line up with scripture. We're not talking about that. There's always counterfeits, guys, to anything that's authentic. Everything. There's counterfeit tongues. There's a counterfeit Holy Spirit. I don't want to get into that. And that's deceptive. Satan has a counterfeit to everything. So again, we can't write off God using people in the last days through dreams and visions just because we know a couple cornflakes out there that eat too much pizza before they go to bed, or they're involved in New Age practices and they don't tell anybody, and they don't, you know, and they're just giving us all kinds of weird stuff, either to try to build up their own platform or build a name for themselves or write another book, or because they're out there. Trust me. I know that. I'm not ignorant of these things, but there is, come on, somebody, there's a real remnant of believers out there that love God. They're in prayer. They're in His presence. They're tuned in with the Holy Spirit, and God speaks to them through dreams and visions and instructs them in life and things to come. And I believe with all of my heart, just like when the Messiah was appearing in his birth, I believe leading up to the return of the Messiah, there's going to be a generation in the earth. There'll be a people in the earth that God is speaking to in these last days, instructing them, warning them, get up out of this city and move over here. Go here, go there. Because Jesus, you read the Gospels, guys, Jesus talks about trouble coming to the coastlands. In Luke 21, he said, the waves and seas roaring. I can take you to Isaiah, and he talks about the mountains and the islands will be moved out of the place. There's talking about earthquakes. There's talking about volcanic eruptions. We're talking about all kinds of stuff taking place. So I believe the Holy Spirit in these last days, we got to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that when He tells us it's time to up and move, we obey. He'll warn us, don't get associated with that group, with that individual, with that church, with that ministry, with that relationship. We've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And many times He'll give you dreams. He'll give you visions. I remember, again, I could tell all these stories, guys, and most of you guys have heard me talk about these stories. Multiple times has the Lord given me personal dreams and warned me of either people, groups of people, churches, certain pastors, certain ministers, a pending danger against my children, against my wife, a job, and the list goes on. Well, I don't get any. Again, how does God speak to us like this? Well, one, we have to be in tune with Him. We got to be in His Word. We got to be in prayer. The closer you get to Him, the more in tune you are with Him and His voice. Now, again, the voice will never contradict the written Word of God. I want to emphasize that, because people, again, they write off anything I say when I talk about dreams and visions because of all the corny stuff going on. But there's an authentic. As long as it lines up with the Word of God, my friend, then we can't, as the old saying goes, we can't toss out the baby with the bathwater. All right, so let's recap this. Number one, there will be just like there was an appearance of signs in the heavens, in the earth, and there was a rise of men and women who had understanding of the times and seasons during the first appearance of Christ, it will happen again. Before, when there was an appearance of a deliverer, there was a great persecution, and young people were targeted. It's happening again. Number three, I believe that there will be an increasing of dreams and visions of the Lord in the last days, wherein which God is instructing His people how to survive these last days. All right, number four. During the birth of Jesus, Herod, who was called Herod the Great, played a significant role in the political and historical context of Jesus' life. He was in rule and reign. He was the king of Judea, and he was appointed by the Roman Empire. Herod, listen, you go study it out. Herod was a ruthless ruler who maintained power through political alliances, assassinations, and heavy taxation. All right. And again, roughly estimating about 1,246 years prior to this, we saw the same thing occur under the rule of Pharaoh when the children of Israel were about to come out of captivity. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And the Bible says he dealt shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And the Bible says that he afflicted them heavily by setting taskmasters over them. Wow. So there was heavy taskmasters to afflict them and their burdens. There was heavy taxation and there was abortion. Are you hearing me? Because there was an attack on the young people, eliminating a generation. So listen to what I'm telling you. I can tell you with certainty through the scriptures, just like in the appearance of the first Messiah, the first time the Messiah appeared, there was a tyrannical government that was in power. All through history, when there is a major prophetic transition that's about to transpire, there was always a tyrannical government in power. We could go all the way back, guys, to the time of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We could talk about Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. But so watch this. When we go into the future and we read the book of Revelation, we know according to the Bible, there is coming a beast system that the Antichrist and his accomplice will govern, which is the false prophet, and this will result in the greatest persecution known to mankind. And Jesus said of the tribulation that if the days had not been shortened, no flesh would survive. This beast system will be the government that will be in power under the rule of the Antichrist. And you, if you do not take that mark of the beast or worship the image of the beast, John said you will be beheaded. That's what the scriptures, that's the Bible says that, guys. So here's the key. Watch this. So as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, I know Trump's in office and everybody is like, happy days are back again and everybody's celebrating in jubilation. But guys, if you know the scripture, it ain't going to make any difference. I'm telling you, mark my words, based on the prophetic parallels, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like for the next 4 years, but I'm telling you, the closer we get to the Lord, the more tyrannical the government will become. There is a spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of iniquity that Paul the apostle spoke about to the church of Thessalonica. He said the spirit of lawlessness is already at work. And it will continue to work until the lawless one is revealed. So all of these stories that we talked about, the two homosexual men doing what they did to the boys, the woman that was set on fire by this migrant while he watched, that took place. A pregnant woman, because she failed to give a tip that was suffice to the driver. This was a pregnant woman. She was stabbed repeatedly. This happened. The man who took his 1-year-old's life and the way he did it. I'm telling you, the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of iniquity is only going to increase. Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. As it were in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. You go to the book of Genesis, violence covered the whole earth. You go to Genesis 19. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah became violent. It was no longer verbal threats. It was no longer legislations that were threatening people. They become physical. So again, based on this, guys, I'm telling you, this is going, and you look at the whole lineage of Herods. You had this Herod who tried to put, again, he made a decree to eliminate an entire generation of young people. Then you had another Herod that rose up and put to death James the apostle and was about to take out Peter. Then you had enough. I'm telling you, this whole lineage of Herods were a wicked, wicked seed of men. And God judged every one of them. So again, don't miss what I'm saying. Look for, and you better anticipate this, that you're going to see an increasement and rise of tyrannical government in the last days. It's there, I'm telling you. And this beast system is so Orwellian and so dystopian. And I'm telling you, it's got all the toys and gadgets that the Antichrist would ever want and need to control the masses. All right. Now I saved the best for last. Y'all ready? I've saved the best because I know some of y'all is like, oh my gosh, all the bad news, you know. Well, let me give you the good news. Here it is. Just like in the time of Jesus, this same thing is going to happen at right before the second coming of Christ. You ready for this? There arose a voice crying in the wilderness, and the message of this voice was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this voice prepared the way of the Lord. I'm talking about, again, when the Messiah was born in those days, John the Baptist rose up preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the Bible says of this man that he was unorthodox. He didn't fit the bill. He didn't look like those of his day. He didn't fit in. He was outcasted. He was rejected. He wasn't welcomed in the synagogues, aka the churches. So he stood out of the church. He stood from the church. And he stood at the bank of the Jordan and he called for repentance. And the Bible says that all of those from Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around them came to him and were baptized for their sins and for the remission of their sins. I'm telling you, friends, listen to me. You better listen to what this preacher's telling you right here. This, I am confident to know that as we speak today on Friday, December 27, 2024, and in the coming days, the coming years, or however long we've got until the coming of the Lord, God always has a remnant that I believe has the spirit and the anointing of Elijah upon them and their message. They never deter from their message. I don't care if it's culturally incorrect, if it's not appropriate according to the church standards and the religious standards. Remember, my friend, John was not recognized, nor was he welcomed in the synagogues of his day. They didn't want his message. They rejected it. And it's no different today. I'm telling you, the men and women of God that God is raising up in this hour that has the spirit and anointing of Elijah, they're being rejected by the religious sect, they're being rejected by the religious culture of this day. The churches don't want it. Social media don't want them. The influencers don't want to be associated with them because, again, it's not a feel-good, tickle-ear message. It's a message of repentance. It's a message that prepares the way of the Lord. It prepares the hearts of a generation for the coming of the Lord. And I believe we got some folks that are watching, listening today that is in that group. Come on, you're watchmen. Come on, you know that you have understanding of the times and seasons. You have the spirit and anointing of Elijah because, listen, you get frustrated when you turn on Christian television and nobody preaches on repentance. Nobody talks about the coming of the Lord. Nobody talks about the rapture of the church anymore. Nobody talks about the end times anymore, hardly, on Christian television. Nobody talks about the warning of the beast system. Nobody talks about the significance of holiness and living right before God. But I'm telling you, there's a remnant out there that are preparing a generation for the way of the Lord. Now, this comes with a disclaimer. And here's the disclaimer. We are not going to be popular. We're not going to be. Don't expect. I've already made up my mind, guys. I'm not expecting for our ministry to be number one on YouTube in our genre. Why? Because of the message we carry. We don't tickle ears. This is why we're not invited as a guest on many platforms at all. Because I've called out a lot of ministers in no uncertain terms, not so much their names, but their doctrine. And when I call their doctrine out, when I call out their practice, they don't like that. And that's why I'm not given a seat at the table, and that's okay with me. John was not given a seat at the synagogue. He was standing out at the Jordan. That's where he was hanging out. But I believe I've got a group of people that's watching and listening, and a lot of you guys are so fed up with the church as normal. And that's why many people, you've given up on church as normal. And I'm not telling you to leave your church, but I'm telling you right now, I am not going to be a part of a dead, dried up, plucked up from the roots twice church that never talks about the end times, never warns a generation, never preaches of repentance, never talks about the blood of Jesus, never talks about, come on, holiness, righteousness, sanctification, or any of these things. If they don't preach about this stuff, and it's always sermonettes, and it's always feel-good sermons and talking points and TED Talks and all this stuff, phooey on that stuff. That stuff is not doing anything for anybody, guys. We don't need that. And I'm telling you, mark my words, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, all of that stuff that you see, it will appeal to the yuppies. Yeah, I said it. The yuppies. The lukewarm, passive, progressive Christians. These are the ones that they're going to flock to that. But the remnant out there that want to hear the unadulterated truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they have to, they'll leave the synagogues and they'll go to a bank of a riverbed, and they'll listen to a wild man preaching out there that don't look the part, don't act the part, don't look the part, but his message is one of an anointing and fire, and it's leading people to Christ and preparing them for the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, that's what's happening right now. I see it happening, and it's going to continue to happen until the coming of the Lord. So listen, I hope this message has been a great blessing to you. I know it's different, but this was something that was burning in my heart since Christmas Day. So for the last 2 days, I've had this burning in my heart. I needed to get it out there and release to you. And I believe this is going to be a blessing to many of you guys. Listen again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. It's where you can find us. Listen, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, it encourages you, equips you, if this message has been of any value to you and you'd like to support our ministry, just want to let all, if you're new, we welcome you. And again, we are a partner supported ministry. We don't sell any merchandise, no books, no CDs, no DVDs, no downloads, no merchandise, no coffee mugs, no t-shirts, no bumper stickers, none of that. Our app is free. Our ministry is free. The messages are free. The subscription, no subscription fee, nothing. All we ask is if you're blessed by our ministry, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website, right there on YouTube at the top where it says support in bold letters. You can click there, or you can give by check or money order right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And having said that, guys, all of you guys who, and you know who you are, all of our partners who sent us Christmas cards and blessings and gifts and so on and so forth, from the bottom of my heart and all of us here at End Time Headlines, we greatly appreciate your support and your contributions and your gifts and your blessings to our ministry. It means so much to us. And even more, guys, I covet your prayers. Thank you so much, guys. As you know, I feel a whole lot better. we're not out of the woods 100%, but man, I'm about 95% better than I was about a month ago. So the Lord's been good to us. He's given us wisdom on nutrition and everything we need to. And I believe, You know, man's years shall be 70 or 80 or more by reason of strength. And I believe in Psalms 91:17. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me the joy of my salvation. So I'm very grateful for that and very thankful for that. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. Listen, we're going to sign off for now. We will likely be back tomorrow on Saturday. We may give you a quick update. We got some stories that broke today that I may want to share with you and give you some information tomorrow as well. So be looking for that. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.